Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. Today, we have two popular programs that I want you to hear, and I think you'll enjoy listening to them. First of all, we're going to have the last episode in the series Gunsmoke. So that's a long-running and very popular program, and those of you may remember it from television, but if you didn't know, there was a radio version, started in about 1952 and ran all the way to 1961. This is the last episode in the series called The Letter of the Law, and in 30 minutes, we'll find out what happens when the great Gildersleeve faces Leela's return home from 1943. But right now, Gunsmoke.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. William Conrad, the story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
They agree, those who think young faces have been pleased. They pick the right one, the modern light one. Now it's Pepsi. For those who think young, so go ahead and fix a drink that lets you drink young as you think. Yes, get the right one, the modern light one. Now it's Pepsi. For those who think young.
Good morning, Kitty.
Well, you're out early today.
I'm a working man. I have to keep regular hours, you know.
Then what were you doing in the Long Branch at 2 o'clock this morning?
Well, sometimes it's a regular 24 hours, like you.
Well, at least I make good money at it.
Kitty, would you really like to see me settle down and run a saloon?
You might get to like it.
All right, I'll do it.
When?
When I'm about 50.
Thought so.
Good morning,
Miss
Kitty.
Hello, Chester.
Yes, sir.
Miss Dillon, here's a letter for you.
Yeah, thanks.
The envelope says it's from Judge Rambo over in Wichita.
Uh-huh.
Anything important?
Yeah, it's a court order for eviction. Seems Brandon Teague didn't file legally on his land over by Wagon Mound.
Did you say Brandon Teague?
Yeah. Where did you know him, Kitty?
Oh, everybody knew him. Round Abilene.
Yeah, he had a pretty bad reputation then.
Doesn't he still?
Well, I haven't seen him for some time, Kitty, but he's married and he's trying to prove up some land.
Well, I don't envy you trying to put him off it. Brandon Teak never shoved very easy that I recall.
Well, Miss Dillon, you have to evict him off. Maybe the judge made a mistake or something.
No, I'm no admirer of Judge Rambo, but he knows his law. We'll ride out there this afternoon, Chester.
Be sure your gun's loaded, Matt.
Well, maybe I won't need it, Kitty.
You want to bet?
No. No, I guess not.
Ask me, Keats went and built himself a mighty nice place out here.
Yeah, he's done fine. Teak. Hello, Marshal. Chester.
All right, Teak.
What brings you out this way?
Well, here, you might as well read it yourself.
What's this? Court order? Immediate eviction?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's this all about, Marshal?
That's just what it says.
Well, I got my deed to this place.
Yeah, but you failed to register it at the land office.
Well, now, nobody told me about that.
I'm sorry, Teak.
You're going to be a whole lot sorrier. You try to put me off this land, Marshal.
Brandon, who are you talking to?
You stay inside, Sarah. It ain't nothing.
And it won't hurt if I come out.
This is my wife, Marshal Dillon, and Chester Proudfoot.
How you doing, Mr.
How you do, ma'am?
Marshal? Is there trouble, Brandon?
They say we got no legal right to this place, Sarah. I didn't register the deed or some fool thing.
No.
Now, don't you worry. There ain't nobody going to move us off, law or no law.
It's a court order.
I ain't wore a gun since I got married, Marshal, but I can sure go put one on.
Brandon.
Now, Sarah, you...
You can't forget your promise. Especially now, you can't.
That's all the more reason for fighting, Sarah.
We're going to have a child, Marshal. Most any day now.
Oh.
And we ain't moving. We ain't starting over.
If we have to, we can do it. I'd rather die than see you go to fighting again, Brandon. Now, you think on it.
She sure don't make it easy on me, Marshal.
What are you going to do, Teak?
It's a hard thing for a man like me to swallow, but I can't go against her, and I ain't putting on my gun.
Why don't you go in and tell her that?
And when'll I tell her we got to get off the place?
There's no hurry.
Now, what about that immediate eviction?
I'll be responsible for that.
I guess I ought to be grateful to you.
No, no. No, Teak, not to me. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Marshal. Chester, here.
Bye, Teak. For a minute there, I thought you were going to make trouble, sure.
Yeah.
When are you going to put them up, Mr. Dillon?
I'm going over to Wichita, Chester. I'll find out there.
Blue Monday tomorrow? Not at all. Tomorrow on Arthur Godfrey Time, for instance, you can enjoy quips from the redhead himself, plus the fine singing of Richard Hayes and the Merry Mayo Singers with Dick Hyman in the orchestra. Genial Gary Moore will be joshing with his sidekick, Durward Kirby, on the Gary Moore radio show. Art Linkletter's House Party will play host to more merriment. And Bing Crosby and Rosemary Clooney will regale you with grand songs grandly sung. Listen to a lineup like that 5 mornings a week, and you'll never have a Blue Monday or any other work day again.
Hello, Judge.
Marshal Dillon. What are you doing in Wichita?
I came to see you.
That's so. How'd you know I was in here?
Well, this is where I found you last time, Judge.
Oh. Have a drink.
No, thanks. It's about that court order you sent me.
Which court order, Marshal?
To evict Brandon Teak off his land near Wagon Mound.
Oh, God, yeah. I remember. What's the trouble? Is he putting up a fight now?
No, he isn't.
Well, he sure must have changed. I remember Teak around here. He was a wild one.
He's married now, Judge. They're expecting a child any day.
A child?
I told them that they could take their time about moving.
Take their time? That order was to evict him at once, Marshal.
I know that.
Marshal Dillon, there is no room for sentiment in the law. What's right is right. What's legal is legal.
Teak's been on that land over a year, Judge. How come this business about failing to register his deed just came up?
It was only recently brought to my attention.
And who brought it to your attention?
Lee Sprague. Not that it makes any difference.
Lee Sprague owns a lot of land around Wagon Mountain.
And he's filed on this piece, too. There's nothing irregular about it, Marshal, if that's what you're thinking.
Legally, I'm sure everything's correct, Judge.
But
I just guess it isn't my kind of law, that's all.
There's only one kind of law.
The way you see it, maybe.
You can't argue with facts, Marshal. Now stop being a sentimental fool. Go do your duty.
Look, Judge, Brandon takes a changed man. He's done more than prove up that land. He's proved himself up, too.
Homestead Act, 1862, paragraph 12, after 1 year of the deed to such land is not duly recorded at the nearest...
Never mind, Judge. I know how it reads.
And start acting like it. I can hold even a U.S. Marshal in contempt of court, you know.
Yeah, sure, I know. You've got a lot of power, Judge. There's just one thing wrong.
What's that?
You never learned how to use it.
Marshal Dillon.
I want to talk to you, Sprague.
Come in, come in. How'd you know I was in Dodge today?
I found out. It's, about Brandon Teak.
Something wrong?
No, not legally. Judge Rambo made that pretty clear.
You want to tell me what's bothering you, Marshal?
Yeah, sure. I think Brandon Teak deserves that land more than you do.
Marshal, I'm in the land and cattle business. I'm making out mighty well. No man can accuse me of ever doing anything illegal or dishonest. But everybody knows I practice sharp. I'll go on practicing sharp, too.
Even against a man like Teak who's hung up his gun and steeled down and tried to make a life for him and his family?
What do you mean, his family?
Well, there's a child coming any day now.
And he's better off in town, Marshal.
What?
My wife stayed in the country. That's why I lost her. Well, it looks to me like I'm doing Teak a favor.
You got an awful easy conscience, Sprague.
Well, there's no use arguing, Marshal. You got your order, now you go put them off.
No, Sprague, I'm not gonna do it.
What?
I couldn't hold my head up if I had any part of the kind of law you and Judge Rambo want.
You mean that?
Yeah, I mean that.
Well, I ain't gonna let you stand in my way, Marshal. You're in for trouble.
Brandon Teak and his missus both talking to that fella yonder, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, you recognize him, Chester?
Oh, sir, I don't. He's a stranger to me.
I'm saying you just ain't got no right.
Looks like they're all head up over something, don't it?
Yeah.
Miss Teak's starting to be standing out in the heat of the day that way.
You let Marshal Dillon settle this, Haley.
You've got nothing to do with it no more.
What's the trouble here, Teak? Not do, man.
You told me there was no hurry about our leaving, Marshal.
Now, wait a minute. Where'd you get that badge, mister? Who are you?
I'm Jim Haley, Marshal, Deputy Sheriff from Wichita.
Wichita? How'd you get here?
Well, I took the train to Dodge, and then they rented me a horse.
Answer me, Haley.
Judge Rambo sent me. I guess he felt the law needed a little enforcing down this way.
He's got a court order, Marshal, just like the one you had.
Plumb legal. I want you people pack up. Be out of here by tomorrow.
Just a minute, Haley.
I can take care of him, Marshal.
No, Brandon, there'll be no fighting.
Now, Sarah, I...
You ain't gonna do nothing except move, Teak. And right now.
No.
Let go, Marshal.
No!
Here, Haley. Pick up his gun, Chester.
Yes, sir.
She hurt, Teak?
I'll be all right.
What? Huh? She only grabbed his arm. He's gone and hurt her, Marshal, flinging her off like that.
Chester.
Yes, sir?
Jump on your horse and ride for Dodge. Tell Doc to get out here. Fast.
Ain't Doc never come out of that house, Miss Jones?
It's been a long time, hasn't it?
She shouldn't have grabbed me, but I didn't mean to hurt her.
You just keep quiet, Haley. Nobody wants to hear from you.
Oh, Miss Jones, there's Doc.
Yeah.
He's been over 2 hours. He don't look none too happy, does he?
Well, Doc?
The baby's dead, Matt.
Oh, no.
It's too bad.
I didn't do it. I only pushed her.
I told you to shut up, Haley.
There wasn't a chance of saving the baby. It's her I've been working on. She's going to be all right now, man.
Well, good for that anyway, Doc.
Doc, tell you, Marshal?
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear it, Teak.
I'm sorry, too. But you can't blame me for it.
Haley, I just now promised my wife I wouldn't kill you. Now, don't make me break it.
Come on, Haley. I'm going to take you in the Dodge with me.
Now, look here. Ain't you forgetting I'm a lawman, too, Mark?
I'd like to forget it. It doesn't make me very proud of being one.
I come here to do a job, and I'm going to do it. As soon as his wife can be moved, of course. Now, this is all over. There's no reason for waiting longer.
I promised her I wouldn't kill you now, Haley, but you come back here, I promise you I will. A man can take only so much.
I'll be back.
No, you won't. I'm going to throw you in jail for a while.
What?
Take, as soon as your wife's better, you come and see me. I don't know what I can do, but things aren't going on this way.
Shower's all yours, son.
Bill, I sure hope Tommy won't pick up athlete's foot from you.
Now, stop athlete's foot from spreading through your family. NP27 treatment roots out athlete's foot, penetrates below skin surface where others can't reach, even into toenails. NP27 liquid stops itch, relieves pain, promotes healthy tissue. NP27 powder guards against new infection. NP27 treatment roots out athlete's foot, or your druggist will refund your money.
Hello, Chester.
Hello, Doc.
Where's Matt?
In the office. Talking to Lee Sprague.
Well, it's a little late to be talking to him, isn't it?
I'd say so. Doc, you sure Brandon Teak's coming to Dodge today?
Oh, that's what he told me. There's a neighbor woman staying with his wife. Not that she really needs anybody now.
Oh, well, I'm proud to hear that.
Well, it's only been a week, but she's a strong woman. Here we are.
Oh,
no,
he did come in.
Hello, Doc. Chester.
Hello, Keith.
How's the patient?
Oh, pretty good, Doc. She's being awful brave about it. But I know how she feels.
Only time will cure that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Miss Jones is in the office. We want you to go right on in when you got here.
Okay.
Hello, Teak. Come on in. You know Lee Sprague, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I know him.
Hello, Teague. Sprague and I were over at the land office this morning. I think we got everything straightened out.
What do you mean?
Here, take a look at this.
What is it?
It's a deed to the land you're on, Teague. This time it's legally registered.
Sure, I can see that. And it's registered in your name.
That's right.
Did you help him with this, Marshal?
I wanted to be sure that there weren't any loopholes.
And there aren't any, huh?
No.
You know, if it wasn't for my wife, you people would have to shoot me off that place. But I warned her I can only stand so much. You send Jim Haley out there, I'll kill him on sight.
I sent Haley back to Wichita this morning. Teague, I want to tell you something.
Ain't you said enough, Sprague?
No. Now listen. I'm a greedy man, Teague, and I'll take anything I can get. Legally. But Marshal Dillon here's been talking pretty hard to me lately.
Sure. Sure, I've been listening to him, too.
Well, it ain't Haley you ought to blame, Teague. It's me.
What?
I guess I'd have gone right on, and I could have, till I heard about your baby.
Why should that matter to you?
I lost my son, Teague. I lost my wife, too.
Taking my land, gonna help you?
You tell him, Marshal. Teague, he's not taking your land.
Now, that deed's in his name, ain't it? Didn't you go along to be sure he didn't make any mistakes?
There are no mistakes this time. Sprague can deed that land to anybody he wants to now. All clear.
Well, what about it?
It's yours, Teague.
You mean you're giving it to me?
I'm not giving it to you. It's yours anyway.
I'll tell Sarah. I'll tell her she was right all along.
That's right, she was.
But well, what about you, Marshal? Ain't there going to be trouble? You're jailing a deputy sheriff?
Well, as soon as he gets back to Wichita, there'll be trouble. Don't you worry about that. I always wanted to see California anyway.
Hollywood by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Gene Bates, John Daner, Barney Phillips, and Harry Bartell. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. This broadcast concludes the current Gunsmoke series. Next week at this time, the CBS Radio Network and its affiliated stations will welcome back the distinguished dramatic favorite Suspense. The premiere of this new Suspense cycle will be Alan Sloan's gripping original play, Call Me at Half Past. Be with us next Sunday at this same time for the return to these stations of Suspense. This is George Walsh speaking.
On Arthur Godfrey, weekdays on the CBS Radio Network.
Now it's off to Summerfield with a great Gildersleeve and a program called Leela Returns Home from 1943.
Kraft presents the great Gildersleeve. Yeah. Kraft Cheese Company will also bring you Bing Crosby every Thursday night. Present each week at this time, Harold Perry as The Great Gildersleeve, written by John Whedon and Sam Moore. We'll hear from The Great Gildersleeve in just a moment. What's the grandest, most appetizing aroma that ever wafted its way out of a kitchen? Well, for me, it's always been the tempting smell of flaky, crusty brown bread or rolls fresh from the oven. And say, did you ever spread bread or rolls when they're fresh and piping hot with delicious parquet margarine? Now, there's a way to really enjoy all of your baking favorites, to spread them with parquet margarine. For parquet's own fine flavor makes other foods taste better. Of course, that's to be expected. For parquet is the quality spread for bread made by Kraft. So, naturally, being made by Kraft, you'd expect parquet to have a delicate, appetizing flavor that really satisfies. And since parquet requires only 4 ration points a pound, your whole family can enjoy it at every meal. Parquet's a grand source of food energy, too. And every pound contains 9,000 units of important vitamin A. So serve parquet for its own flavorful goodness and for the extra flavor it gives to other foods. Ask your dealer tomorrow for parquet, P-A-R-K-A-Y. Parquet margarine made by Kraft. Now let's see what's happening to the great Gildersleeve. Well, tonight our hero has taken another step forward in his public career in Summerfield. He's been elected to fill a vacancy on the school board. And having attended his first meeting, he and Judge Hooker are escorting Miss Goodwin, the grammar school principal, to her home.
Well, it's been so nice of you gentlemen to see me home.
The pleasure, Miss Goodwin, was all ours.
You're sure I couldn't persuade you to come in for a moment?
Why, I'd
well,
be...
Well, the judge has to be getting home, I'm afraid. Busy day tomorrow, eh, Judge?
Well, I don't know if you...
Yes, the law is a stern mistress, a stern mistress. All those briefs to read, decisions to hand down, bills to collect. Not much time for play, is there, Judge?
No, the law's demands are pretty heavy. But as it happens...
So if you don't mind, Miss Goodwin, I think perhaps we'd better say goodnight. Perhaps another time?
Well, now, wait a minute. I don't know about you, Gildy, but personally, I should be delighted
Another
to...
time, perhaps, Judge.
All right, I can take a hint.
I was beginning to wonder.
Miss Goodwin, this has been most pleasant.
I enjoyed your story so much, Judge. You must tell me more sometime.
Yeah.
Well, one has many amusing experiences in the law. I remember one particular case involving litigation over a dog.
Another time, Judge.
Oh, quite so, quite so. Good night, Miss Goodwin.
Good night, Judge Hooker.
Good night, Judge.
Good night. Gildy.
What is it, Judge?
Did I tell you that Leela Ransom is arriving tomorrow?
Yes, you did, several times. Now, good night.
Good night.
I'm sorry you haven't time to come in, Mr. Gildersleeve. Won't you at least sit down here on the porch for a moment?
Oh, thank you. Just for a moment.
You know, I envy you, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Me? Why would anybody envy me?
I envy you your career. If I were a man, I can't think of anything that would be more exciting and more rewarding than a career of public service.
Well, mine isn't much of a career, just water commissioner.
Oh, but
of course, the department did operate at a profit last year for the first time.
Yes, and that's only the beginning. It's only a stepping stone.
Oh, you think so?
I'm sure of it. Why, just think, already you're a member of the school board. That's quite an honor, you know.
Yeah. Gonna have to be some changes there, too.
Last year, the water department. This year, the school board. Next year? Who knows? With the right guidance and encouragement, there's no telling how far you might go.
Miss Goodwin.
Yes, Mr. Gildersleeve.
You're a woman. You've been around. You've had experience.
Let's just say that I'm a woman.
Well, I'd like to ask your advice. Do you feel that marriage helps a man's career or hinders it?
Oh, I think it's a great help to it, definitely. After all, nearly every great man in history has had a woman behind him.
Well, I was asking this advice on behalf of a friend.
Oh, this is a friend.
Yes, a friend. Well, I've known him for quite a long time, too. He's a... Well, he happens to be in public office, too, only in another town.
I see. Not married.
No, that's the point. He happens to be about my age, and he lives alone with his niece and nephew. He was wondering whether he ought to get married.
You mean he's met someone?
Oh, yes. He's taken quite a fancy to a certain young lady who moved to this town he lives in.
Oh, well, tell me, what is she like?
Well, she's
Is she attractive?
Uh-huh.
You know, she interests me, this friend of your friend's. Tell me more about her.
Well, she's young. Not too young, but just about right.
Yes, go on.
The only thing is, she happens to be a widow.
Oh.
Yes, they were very close there for a while, as I understand it. But then she left town.
Now she's coming back, and the question is, well, should he or shouldn't he?
Mr. Gildersleeve, I wonder if your friend has ever read a book called Of Human Bondage.
Well, he's a pretty busy fellow. I don't think he gets time to do much reading.
You recall it yourself, though, of course.
Oh, yes, yes, fine book.
And so true to life.
Yeah, I must read it again. But about my friend...
You remember it was the story of a man, a really splendid man, who fell in love with a girl who was beneath him, and how she dragged him down and ruined his career.
Say, didn't they make a movie of it?
Oh, yes, with Betty Davis.
Come to think of it, my friend saw it.
Then you might just remind him of it.
I'll do that.
What he should ask himself is, can this woman really give him the things he wants in a wife? Is she fitted intellectually to be a suitable partner to him as he goes on to higher things?
Well, I don't know that she's so much on intellect, but then my friend is very broad-minded.
Nevertheless, I think he might be wise to keep their relationship on a platonic basis for a while.
Platonic? Yes, he hasn't tried that.
Yes, at least until he's sure. Of course, I'm speaking only as a woman, but you asked my opinion, and there it is.
Miss Goodwin, I'll do that. I'll tell my friend they ought to be more platonic. That might solve a lot of things.
Yes. And now, if you'll excuse me, I have a rather early day tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. I've kept you too late. I don't know how to thank you. And my friend doesn't know how to thank you either.
Not at all, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Miss Goodwin, before I go...
Yes?
I'll tell you a secret, if you won't tell anybody.
A secret?
Yes. I haven't any friend. The friend is me.
Why, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yeah, good night.
All right, Bertie, he's down.
Coming right up.
Well, good morning, all.
Hi, Unc.
I'm well, thank you, Leroy. And you?
Get him.
Your usual self, I see. Marjorie, have you got a kiss for your old uncle this fine and glorious morning?
Of course I have.
Look at your cheek.
Oh, here, let me wipe it off.
Marjorie, I've spoken to you about that.
Oh, but Uncle Darling, all the kids use lipstick.
I know, I don't expect to be obeyed, but I do think you might ration yourself a little.
That's nothing. You ought to see Wally Hoff after they've been to the movies together. It looks like he's got scarlet fever.
Leroy, that's not true.
Oh, yeah, look at her blush.
You made that up.
Now, Leroy.
He just made that up to be funny.
Now, children, let's not start the day with any arguments. It's a fine morning, and besides, I have some good news for you.
Anyway, I wouldn't kiss Wally Hoff if he were the last man on earth.
Oh, yeah? Then what are you always hanging around with him for?
If you two would listen a moment.
Because I happen to like the way he plays piano. Is there anything wrong with that?
A likely story.
Can a man and woman just be friends, for goodness sake?
Of course they can. Leroy eats your prunes.
I ate them.
Then eat something else. And stop teasing your sister. She says her friendship with Wally is platonic. I, for one, am prepared to take her word for it.
Thank you, Uncle Mort.
Platonic? What's that?
Platonic? Well, it comes from the Greek word, Well, there was this old Greek named Plato. A historian, wasn't he, Marjorie?
Philosopher.
Well, a philosopher, too. Anyway, he was a great authority on Greek. Yeah. So that's where we get the word platonic.
Oh, yeah. What does it mean?
Well, it means when a man and a woman are friends. That is, it means... what would you say it means, Marjorie?
Well, it means...
It means no monkey business. Now eat your breakfast.
Good morning, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Good morning, Bertie. You can take this dish if you want. I'm through.
Yes, sir. Here's a bill, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Bill? What's this?
The cleaner. He finally brought your pants back.
What pants?
The ones you spilled the tomato surprise on the lap of.
Oh, well, it's about time. By the way, Bertie, no more paper plates.
No, sir.
Picnic or no picnic, you understand?
I ain't bought a one, Mr. Gildersleeve, not since the tomato surprise.
Good.
Not me, not anymore, not after you told me. No, sir.
Good.
Picnic or no picnic, I ain't buying no paper plates, and that's fine.
Bertie, another thing, tell the cleaner to submit his bills monthly hereafter.
Monthly?
Yes, tell him I expect to be a very busy man from now on. I don't want to be pestered with a lot of odds and ends of bills. Just send me one a month. Yeah. Do you understand?
Yes, sir. But Mr. Gilsey.
Yes, Bertie?
The man's waiting out there for his money.
Let him wait. I waited 3 weeks for my pants.
Why do you expect to be so busy, Uncle Moore?
Well, it might just possibly interest you children to know that your uncle was elected to the school board last night.
You were? Leroy, did you hear that? Uncle Moore's been elected to the school board. Isn't that wonderful?
How much does it pay?
Leroy, it doesn't pay anything. The position is purely honorary.
You mean you don't do anything?
Of course we do things. We do a great deal.
What?
Well, we meet from time to time.
How often?
As often as necessary.
What do you do?
Well, we... How do I know? We pass on things. We make suggestions. As a matter of fact, I believe we even hire the teachers.
Can you fire them, too?
Leroy, I know what you're thinking, and it won't work.
I'm not thinking anything, Unc.
There'll be no special favors for you. You'll work just as hard as anybody, young man, and even harder. Have you done your homework for today?
Yes.
Have you practiced your music?
Bertie was dusting the piano.
Well, go practice.
Okay.
From now on, we're going to have things done on the dot around here. I'm not going to have time for any more nonsense. Good, if I have to listen to much more of that.
I'll go, Unc. It's the postman.
Let Bertie go. You stick to your lessons. See if you can't improve a little.
I'm doing all right.
You're just barely holding your own.
I'm coming. Anything for me, Bertie?
No, just a letter for your uncle.
Just put it on the table, Bertie.
My goodness, the postmark's from Savannah, Georgia.
Uh-oh.
Well, who do I know in Savannah, Georgia?
I wonder.
Mr. Gilsleeve, didn't Miss Ransom come from Savannah, Georgia?
That I couldn't say, Bertie. Just leave it there, will you?
Yes, sir.
If it's from her, I won't read it.
You'd like me to open it and find out?
No. Because it's from her, I'm just not interested, that's all. I made up my mind that from now on, everything between us is going to be strictly platonic. Strictly.
I think you're right. Maybe the best thing to do is burn it.
Hold on, my dear. It might not be from her, either. Come to think of it, I believe there was a classmate of mine in college who used to come from Savannah. Yes. Smith, his name was, or something like that. Smith. George Smith. Butch, we used to call him. Yeah. Might be from Butch. Give it here, my dear. Just as I thought. Butch. Let's see what he says.
My darling Throckmorton, just a line to say that I'm coming back to Summerfield. I may even get there before this does.
What does he say?
Says he may be coming to town one of these days.
Oh, really?
Let's see. He goes on here.
I don't suppose you can ever really forgive poor Leela for what she has done to you. I don't ask that. All I ask is that if we should chance to meet anywhere, you'll give me your hand and believe that I am, as ever, your friend, Leela.
Good old Butch. By George, I'll be glad to see him again.
The great Gildersleeve will be with us again in a few seconds. Here's a $64 question that many families have been asking lately. What's parquet margarine made of to make it taste so good? Well, that's a natural question, because parquet is winning new friends everywhere as a flavorful, nutritious spread for America's bread. So here's the answer to those questions. Parquet margarine is made by Kraft, is made to the same high standards of quality as are all Kraft products. Parquet is made from top quality ingredients, including highly refined vegetable oil and other products of American farms. It's made in modern plants as spick and span as a model kitchen. Parquet is delicious and appetizing. It's one of the best energy foods you can serve, an important aid to good family nutrition. And parquet contains important vitamin A. Yes, there's 9,000 units of vitamin A in every single pound. Parquet is a quality margarine that bears the seal of acceptance of the Council on Foods and Nutrition of the American Medical Association. So serve your family this delicious quality spread for bread at every meal. Ask for parquet, P-A-R-K-A-Y. Parquet margarine made by Kraft. Now back to the great Gildersleeve. He hasn't been able to get his mind on his work today for some reason, possibly because of a sleepless night spent tossing from pillow to pillow and post to post. Determined not to lie awake again tonight, he drops in at Peavy's drugstore in mid-afternoon.
Oh, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Why don't you put a stopper on that door, Peavy, so it won't bang?
You must be a little on edge. You never noticed it before.
How long has it been that way?
Every summer for 23 years. Yes, sir, 1920 was the year I bought that screen door.
Never mind, Peavy.
Before that, I just had flypaper.
Let it go. Have you got a good, reliable sleeping powder?
Insomnia?
No, I want it for a hangnail.
Well, now, I had one customer who used to take sleeping powders because he liked the taste, but he overdid it.
Did it kill him?
No, but he became quite a somnambulist. So let's not rush into this.
Phoebe, I'll bet you never rushed in anything in your whole life.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I've done some pretty hasty things in my time.
Oh, you have?
Yes. To mention only one, there's Mrs. Peavy. The minute I laid eyes on her, at that time she was Miss Horsefall, the minute I laid eyes on her, I said to myself, there's the girl I'm going to marry.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Of course, I didn't ask her till 5 years later.
Peavy.
About the sleeping powders, Mr. Gildersleeve. Maybe a simple home remedy would be just as effective. Have you tried hot milk?
I want something stronger. I can't stand another night like last night.
Have you had a number of them, or was this the first?
This was the first, but I wanted to be the last.
The reason I ask is a lot of insomnia is in the mind, Mr. Gildersleeve. Anything been worrying you?
No.
You're not nervous about anything?
No.
You haven't had any bad news lately?
No. Peavy, I came here for a sedative. If I want to be psychoanalyzed, I'll go to a chiropractor.
No offense. You see, sometimes...
Wait a minute, Peavy. Quiet. Didn't I hear a train?
Oh, the 419, I guess. Yeah, right on time.
419? Oh, I've got to go.
Expecting someone on it?
No, that is not exactly. I just like trains.
What do you do? Go down to the station and wave at them?
I'm not going to the station, Peavy. I'm going home.
Well, you won't find the train there.
So I know. In this house where you can practice?
Well, if you'd like to move the piano upstairs.
All right.
Well, you want me to practice, don't you?
I suppose so.
What are you looking at, Unc? Something going on next door?
No, nothing at all.
Then what are you staring out the window for? You watching for somebody?
You just watch your little music. So...
Unc, walking up and down?
That piece would make anybody nervous. Why don't you learn to play something good? Something by Bach or Beethoven. Who wrote that anyway?
Bach.
Must have been... must have been one of his bad days then.
What do you want, Unc? Something more like this?
Leroy. That'll conclude your piano lesson for today, young man.
Hooray!
Leave me alone, will you? I'm going to try to get a little nap here on the couch before dinner.
Okay, Unc. Sweet dreams. Hey!
What?
There's a taxi pulling up. No, it's stopping next door. Hey, you better come and look, Unc.
What goes on next door does not concern me in the least, Leroy. Besides, I've told you time and again it's distinctly bad manners to pry into other people's business. What do you see?
Somebody's getting out. Hey, it's the old goat.
You mean it's Judge Hooker. Is there anybody with him?
Wait a minute. Yeah.
Leroy, I asked you a question.
It's her, Unc. It's Mrs. Ransom.
Oh, that's so. Mrs. Ransom, huh? How does she look?
They're going up the walk now. She's holding onto the judge's arm.
Leroy, how does she look?
I don't know. Why don't you come here and take a look for yourself?
What do you think I am, a peeping Tom? Anyway, it's nothing to me.
You better hurry. They're going inside.
Where?
Oh, you missed her.
Why didn't you get out of the way?
Well, gosh, you don't have to knock me down.
All right, if you can't keep your eyes open, make room for somebody who can. I can't stand this. What the devil is Hooker doing over there so long?
Did you say something, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Just talking to myself, Bertie. I'm going out for a minute.
But, Mr. Gildersleeve, supper's almost ready.
Don't worry, I'll be back for supper.
It'll be ready in 5 minutes.
I'll be back in less than that.
Uh-huh.
I will, too. Just come to a quick understanding with Leela. Get the thing settled once and for all. And maybe I can get a night's sleep. Get everything straight right at the start.
Well, hello, Gildy.
What's the idea of hanging around here, Hooker? Don't you know when to go home?
I think I do. I've seen no evidence that Mrs. Ransom is bored with my company.
Where is she?
She's gone upstairs to get some papers for me. Well, you might as well come in.
Don't worry, I'm coming in, all right. What have you been up to all this time, anyway?
Well, we had a lot of things to talk about.
What, for instance?
What do you care?
I don't. All I want is an understanding with Leela. From now on, she and I are going to be on a strictly platonic basis. I want to make that plain to her.
No.
How is she, Horace?
As beautiful as ever.
Oh. What's she going to do? What are her plans?
She's going to stay here. Live here.
Hooker, did she say anything about me?
Not that I remember.
She must have said something.
No. Oh, yes. She asked if you'd been lonesome during the summer.
What did you say? Did you say anything about Miss... What's her name?
Miss Goodwin?
Shh!
What would you care if you and Leela are going to be so platonic?
Wouldn't want to make her feel bad, you old goat. If you...
Oh. Here she comes.
Oh. Throckmorton, it's so nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, Leela.
Can't we all sit down?
Yeah, why not?
I thought you were going, Judge, as soon as you got the papers.
No hurry, no hurry. Yeah, like old home week, huh, Leela?
Yes, Horace. Here are the papers.
Thank you.
You're looking well, Leela.
Oh, not really. But you're looking well, Throckmorton.
Feel pretty well. rocking chair still squeaks, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Now, guess I better be running along.
Oh, must you, Horace?
Must you, Horace?
Yes, I'm afraid he must. Goodbye, Judge.
Goodbye. I'll call you tomorrow, Leela.
Oh, thank you. You've been a good friend to me in my time of trouble, Horace.
You can count on me. Bye, Gildy.
Goodbye.
Good night, Horace.
Good night, gracious lady. I kiss your hand, madame.
Go home, Hooker.
Well?
Well, here we are.
Everything's so changed, isn't it?
You look different, Leela.
Do I?
Well, I guess it's the black dress.
I'm in mourning, Throckmorton.
It's true, then. Beauregard is...
Yes.
Positively?
I buried him, Throckmorton. He was a fine man.
I'm sure he was. Leela... I wanted to say something about our...
Oh, Throckmorton, you have no idea how Beauregard had changed. He was a different man. I declare he was.
Well, how do you mean?
He came back because he needed me. He never needed me before.
Oh.
And all these last few months before he...
Yes, yes.
He was so sweet and sympathetic and thoughtful. He was wonderful.
Yes. Well, about us, Leela, I just wanted to say...
I always told you Beauregard was a gentleman, Throckmorton.
Yes, Leela, you always did. Where did you live all summer?
On my family's place down south. It's just a plantation.
Was Beauregard practicing law down there?
Oh, mercy, no. He wasn't doing anything. Nothing but just be sweet to me.
Did he have any money?
Oh, no. Beauregard never had a penny, the poor lion. But he was such a handsome man. Didn't you think he was handsome, Throckmorton?
I thought he looked like a gigolo.
Well.
And I was right, living off your family.
Throckmorton, I will not have you talk that way about Beauregard.
But, Leela...
No one ever understood poor Beauregard but me. No one.
Now, Leela, I didn't mean...
I knew the real Beauregard. No one else did.
He must have been a fine man, or you wouldn't have married him, Leela.
Oh, he was. He truly was.
There, Leela. Here. Here, take my handkerchief.
Oh, thank you, darling. You're the only man in the world as thoughtful as Beauregard was.
Oh, I'm not thoughtful.
Oh, yes, you are. You're sweet.
Leela, I want to get things settled between us.
Oh, please, Throckmorton, if you knew what I've been through. Such a tragedy for poor Beauregard, a man who was so fond of animals.
What are you talking about, Leela?
Why, if he ever saw anyone mistreating a dog or a horse or a cat, he was furious. That's what made it so sad.
What, Leela?
Beauregard's passing.
How did he go, Leela?
He was kicked in the head by a mule.
Well, we never know where it's going to come from, do we?
No. Just... 5 weeks ago today.
Oh, you poor girl. There, there. Have a good cry on Throckmorton's shoulder.
Oh, you're so sweet.
So are you.
What was it you've been trying to tell me, Throckmorton?
Tell you? Well, what I was going to say, Leela, was that, I think maybe you and I should have a more platonic relationship.
What, Throckmorton?
A platonic relationship.
Oh, Throckmorton, 5 weeks is too soon for us to be thinking about things like that.
But Leela...
Good night, Throckmorton.
K-15, calling B-9. Listen, you better bring back that thing you borrowed. No, you get it back here tonight. Listen, don't you get tough with me. My uncle's on the school board now, and he can get you suspended.
Leroy!
Oh, hi, Unc. Wait a minute, Pig.
Young man, I'll not have you using my position to bully your friends.
Oh, I'm not bullying him, Unc. I'm trying to get him to bring back something.
What?
Something he borrowed.
What did he borrow, Leroy?
Your electric drill.
My electric drill? You tell him to get it back here in 5 minutes or I'll have him expelled. Good night, everybody.
Music heard on this program was under the direction of Claude Sweeten. This is Ken Carpenter speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company, inviting you to listen again next Sunday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.